The next item on my agenda is the source of information that I will need to complete the P11Ds, and now is the time to make early contact with those people so that you can reliably obtain that information in good time for completing the P11Ds. You might need to pick up the telephone or send them an email or a fax. Make sure that you give them sufficient time to be able to provide the information that you need. I'm always keen on giving them a copy of the information that they've supplied me with before, because it'll make it easier for them to decide where they get the information from and how to provide it. So who then are we going to have to contact? Depending on the size of the client or your employer company, it may be the payroll bureau. The payroll bureau will so often have a lot of information in terms of payments deducted from salary, if there's a salary sacrifice scheme for something like childcare vouchers, payroll bureau will be the ones to ask. Is it in-house or is it an external payroll bureau? There may be repayments of loans deducted from salary. Again, you'll need that information to complete that section of the P11D. The human resources or personnel department will need to be asked for details of any new benefits that may have been introduced. And if you're not party to that benefit, you may not be aware of it. Information on such issues as relocations, where HR personnel will be aware of who's been relocated. And we'll need that information in order to determine whether the tax-free limit has been exceeded and anything has to be reported. Of course, the finance or accounts department should be aware of the costs that have been incurred during the 2008-09 tax year, and they might need to provide us with information, particularly in respect to things like expense payments and benefits to be reported. The finance or accounts department will have details of accounts direct with suppliers where there may be information to be reported on the P11Ds if there isn't a dispensation to cover such items as travel, subsistence, business entertaining, etc. What about company cars? If the company cars to go onto a P11D or vans, who has that information? Who knows what cars are available? Were available during the year? Is there a fleet manager or a leasing company, or is there even a local garage for a small company that we might have to approach to get details of things like the list prices? And finally, is there anyone else, such as a relocation company, that you need to provide information to you? Well, next, what are the reporting requirements? Employers must report all expenses and benefits provided to employees and directors, or indeed to members of their family or household, if they're by virtue of the employment. That means that we do have to include costs met directly by the employer, such as a supplier's account with a taxi firm, a travel firm, a hotel, a restaurant, in addition to reporting the actual reimbursed expenses that are paid to the employees via their expense or petty cash system or via their credit cards. Next, we remember that P11Ds are required for all directors, but excluding full-time working directors who have no material interest in the company, which means 5% of the ordinary share capital. And we can exclude directors of a charity or other non-profit-making organisation, and for any employee or director earning at a rate of £8,500 per annum. That figure is so low, it's been there for many, many years. In the recent pre-budget speculation, it was suggested it should be increased to £25,000, but it wasn't. Now, a director includes any person in accordance with whose instructions the directors are accustomed to act. It doesn't include someone who has the nominal title of director but isn't a Companies Act director. In calculating the £8,500 limit, you must include all salaries, fees, bonuses, commissions, and all expense payments and benefits before deducting any allowable expenses. And if we had someone, say, starting a company on the 5th of January and just work for 3 months, you would pro rata, if they received £2,000 a month over 3 months and received £6,000, you would pro rata it over the whole year and they would be over the £8,500 limit. I've already mentioned that employers have to provide each employee with a statement of the information shown on the P11D, and the time limit for doing this is the same time limit of the 6th of July 2009. There's a similar reporting requirement for any third-party providers of expense payments or benefit. And again, as I've said, there's no set format for this information, so it could be a copy of the P11D, it could be a company memo. One point to remember, and it's a question that often crops up when I'm doing the P11D course, is what about leavers? An employee that has left the company before the end of the tax year, before the 5th of April, doesn't automatically get a P11D, but they have an entitlement to a P11D. And what would happen is that they could write to the ex-employer and say, I want a copy of the P11D information. My advice to you is when preparing the P11Ds, you have to decide whether it's easier just to do the P11Ds for leavers at the same time and send them out to them. Otherwise, you need to keep the information in case they request it. Next, what I like to look at is the reporting exclusions, the entries that don't have to be made on the P11Ds. And the starting point is to remember that we do not have to complete nil P11Ds, so that any employee or indeed even a director who has no expense payments or benefits in kind to be included on a P11D, we would not do a nil form. As already explained, items included in a P11D dispensation and a pay-as-you-in-settlement agreement should also be excluded from the P11Ds. We don't want them doubly reported because there's a danger they would be doubly taxed. We also need to tell employees, particularly in respect of PAY settlement agreements, if there are items that they're not required to report on their tax returns or pay tax on. We could also include within this exclusion bracket any items that might be included in a taxed award scheme. That sort of scheme is often operated by a third party, providing incentives to the employer's employees to sell their products. Chapter 5 of the booklet 480 provides a lot more guidance to us on the items to be excluded from the P11D. We'll start off with office accommodation supplies or services that are exempt. It will give us guidance on the exempt job-related living accommodation. Payments towards additional household costs of employees who work at home. Payments that are covered by an extra statutory concession. Or payments that are covered by a statutory exemption. Quite a comprehensive coverage of this in Chapter 5 of the booklet 480. Next in the preparation is to bear in mind the basic rules for calculating the benefits, which will be covered in more detail on the second part of the P11D podcast this year. The basic rule for P11D purposes is that the cash equivalent or value of the expense payment or benefit in kind is the cost to the employer or any other third-party provider. This is based on specific legislation applying to directors and to what we once knew as higher-paid employees. I've already said the £8,500 limit has remained at this level for very many years, and the current consultation includes actually abandoning the idea of completing P11Ds at all and putting them through the payroll. Now, there are some exceptions to the basic rules, which, based on special legislation, we have living accommodation, vouchers, car and fuel benefit charges, and company vans, where all employees are taxed on the basis of specific valuation rules as opposed to the cost rule. We have to include details of any amount made good by the employee from which income tax was deducted and to pay as you earn. We shouldn't really be netting off the amounts made good and showing the net benefit. The requirement on the P11D generally is to show the gross cost, less the amount made good, and then the net cash equivalent, which is the amount that should be taxed and liable to Class 1A NIC. You will need to make a corresponding adjustment to the total benefits reported on the form P11DB if you enter an amount from which tax has been deducted under pay-as-you-earn, where the benefit is liable to Class 1A NICs. Making good is an issue that's quite important. It'll be mentioned again in the other podcast, but the timescale for making good should be reasonably short, and at least by the time that the P11Ds are submitted. This was reinforced a couple of years ago by the impact filing case, where two directors tried to make good the cost of private fuel. The revenue refused to allow this, and the courts agreed with the revenue that it was too late. Anyway, that's all for now in this part of the PLMD podcast. At the second PLMD podcast, we look in much more detail at the actual calculation of the expenses and benefits and the reporting. So thank you for that.